Welcome to the Charis Christian Center podcast.
All right, y'all ready to get into the Word? Wow, open your Bible to the Gospel of Mark. We know Mark is the best gospel. We know Mark is the best gospel. And turn your Bible to Mark chapter 11, verse 22-23. But also we use 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 13. So look at 2 Corinthians 4:13 first, and then we'll do Mark 11, 22, and 23, and 24. 2 Corinthians 4:13, the Apostle Paul, the most productive Christian in history. His three missionary journeys literally changed the world as it is today, changed the world. And wrote half the New Testament, so the letters that he wrote and the revelation that he had and the adversity that he went through. If you ever think you're having a bad day, just read of the Apostle Paul's times that he was beaten with 39 stripes five times and one would kill most people. And if you think, well, you know, the traffic's bad today, that's not really comparable to the kind of adversity that he had. And in the middle of all that, this is what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:13. He said, we having the same spirit of faith. We having the same spirit of faith. So if you were to ask the Apostle Paul, what keeps you from collapsing? What keeps you from quitting? What enables you to go through adversity and challenges and still come out on the other side and say, I have victory in Jesus' name. So Paul would say, this is what I have or what we have. And it's not just Paul, that's what you have. I have the same spirit of faith. You have the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, he said, I believed and therefore have I spoken. He said, we also believe and therefore speak. In other words, only two ingredients in the spirit of faith. Spirit of faith, I believe, which you could say is an attitude of faith. I speak would be the initial act of faith. Try that one more time. We're not in a hurry, right? I believe would be an attitude of faith. And you can tell when people have an attitude. They walk with an attitude. Confidence, assurance. So it affects your attitude. I believe. I'm a believer. And then the initial act of faith is your faith has to move your mouth. Dad Hagen would say it this way, and I learned faith from Dad Hagen. And he would say, the door to the supernatural swings on two hinges, I believe and I speak. So if you're tired of natural results and you want the supernatural, I believe, but it's not enough. Now I speak. I believe and I speak. Even the devil don't care what you believe if you'll be quiet about it. So there's something about your voice, I like to say, is your address in heaven. Actually, in Daniel, it said the angel says, I have come because of your words. Imagine angels activated because of your voice and your words and your prayers. In other words, they're very influential, very powerful in the unseen realm as well as in the seen realm. So the spirit of faith, I believe and I speak, I have, you have, actually all of you as believers have a measure of the God kind of faith. You ought to laugh about that. I have a measure of the God kind of faith. Amen. All right, so go and see what Jesus had to say about the subject. And I learned this from Kenneth E. Hagin or from Dad Hagin, and he's with the Lord now. But I had great confidence in his teachings because I knew him personally. A lot of good teachers, but I don't know all of them personally. But I knew him personally as a man, as a spiritual father, but also he's an unusual teacher because he had seven visions of Jesus. That kind of put him in a category that there's not any not too many people in there teaching from a reference of seven visions of Jesus. So you could look at his book, I Believe in Visions, and learn a lot just from what he learned from Jesus appearing to him and helping him make the adjustments necessary so that he could not only do the will of God, but also be a blessing in a whole generation. And, he's more famous in Nigeria, and he never went there personally. Most famous preacher in Nigeria. So Dad Hagen, we call him Dad Hagen. So he's one of the few preachers that I would receive correction well from. In other words, I'm sure I needed a lot of correction, but he was one that when he said something, I went, all right, well, thank you for that whooping. So Dad Hagen would teach on Mark 11, 22, 23, 24, and I only had him sign one book in all the years I knew him, because I just never thought about it. It's like he's over at the house and stuff like that. Finally, I said, sign a book for me. And he signed it Mark 11, 23, 24, and his name, Kenneth E. Hagin, one book. Anyway, so he said, though these are the scriptures that brought me off of the bed of paralysis, seven incurable diseases, so these are my favorite scriptures in the Bible. Come on, how many know that if the Word of God becomes so real to you, it brings you out and through and over a terrible situation, that could become a very important scripture to you. So that's what he signed. So look at Mark 11, 22, and see if Jesus agrees with the Apostle Paul. All right, Jesus says, have faith in God. Look at somebody and say, have faith in God. I always say you can end a lot of conversations with that. Have faith in God. Our other translations, they have the God kind of faith. And my favorite translation says, lay hold on God's faithfulness. In other words, that's a great way to explain living by faith, is you have an understanding of God's faithfulness. Amen? So when Jesus said to have faith in God, in verse 23, he makes it so simple you need a theologian to get confused about it. So in verse 23, he could have said, good luck. Or he could have said, figure it out. Instead, Jesus says, let me tell you exactly how faith works. And he starts off by saying, anybody can do this.
Yay!
I mean, I've met some unusual people in my life. Yay! But Jesus said, anybody can do this. In other words, Jesus had just spoken to the fig tree, right? And the disciples were pretty impressed. They're like, pretty impressive. And Jesus could have said, I'm Jesus, you're not. He could have said, I'm Jesus, and that's a deity trick that I learned in heaven. So don't any of you earthlings try it. If you get it wrong, it'll blow the lips off your face. So Jesus could have said that. He could have said, you little punk, don't try this. Instead, Jesus said what I just did, anybody could do this. He said, and it'll not only work on a tree. He cranked it up. He said, it'll work on a mountain. Mountain represents anything that looks impossible, may look like it's permanent, may look like it'll never change. But Jesus said, your faith in God will change the scenery in your life. Let's try this side over here. I said, your faith in God will change the scenery in your life. Go ahead and laugh about that. Say, ha-ha. Amen. So you may not be the most talented, you know, the smartest or the best looking. I'm not saying you're not, but I'm just saying you might not be. But if you have faith in God, it makes all the difference in your life. So to have faith in God, we're told, in the rest of the scriptures, have faith in God. But we're also told to have faith in the blood of Jesus in Romans 3:25. To have faith in the blood of Jesus means that you have to have accurate knowledge or revelation knowledge, or you have to know what the scriptures teach about the blood. Because the more you know what the blood has done for you, what it does in you, what it does in heaven, what it does over hell, what it does over the devil, now your faith in that blood, the power of the blood, there's power, wonder-working power in the blood, and you and I are told to have faith in the blood of Jesus. Or you could say have faith in the blood. That's why when you sing about the blood or when you make a bold confession about the blood. So what we would do, we learn to have a bold confession. Someone said, I think Andrew Murray said it, we honor the blood of Jesus by boldly confessing that it cleanses us. All right, if you want to honor or magnify the blood of Jesus, you make a bold confession. It cleanses me from all sin, from all unrighteousness. So my mama would do what I call slinging blood everywhere. And she would do, I plead the blood. I have faith in the blood. I have confidence in the blood. So to have faith in the blood would be to have faith in the blood covenant. Let's try that one more time. So if I'm have faith in the blood, I have faith in the blood covenant. Amen. So how's that going to work? Number one, I believe it. Number two, I got to say something about it. So when Jesus said how faith works, we call this the authority of the believer. In other words, you don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a prophet or a non-prophet or a prophetess. I have a few other things that I won't say. But anyway, you don't have to be a TV preacher. All you have to do is be a believer. And as a believer, you have tremendous authority available to every believer. Praise the Lord. So as Jesus said, here's how faith works. Whosoever shall say. So the first thing Jesus said about faith is it's going to have to move your mouth. I know that sounds difficult. Sometimes you got your mouth stuck. And so your answer is really close. It's right underneath your nose. I mean, y'all went, where's that at? Yeah, so faith, your faith will never move a mountain until it moves your mouth. So you would have to say the initial act of faith is to speak. Praise the Lord. One of my favorite illustrations, I believe I can check out the video when I get to heaven, is Acts 16. How many think when you get to heaven, you can check out some videos? I'd like to see that when that Red Sea split and stuff like that. Pull that video. I go, whoa. So one of my videos I want to check out is Acts chapter 16. And Acts 16, it says Paul and Silas, when they were in prison, their hands were bound, their feet were bound, the deepest part of the prison, and at midnight, the darkest hour. How many of you had any dark hours in your life? The darkest hour is as they prayed and sang praises to God. What happened? The power of God came down, shook the prison, chains fell off, came off their feet, and they walked out free. So while they were there, it says their hands were bound, their feet were bound, so their backs were bleeding. Come on, so they're hurting and they're embarrassed. So I imagine Paul and Silas going, all right, Mr. Devil, you did a good job. You got me beat up, got me in prison. But devil, you made one mistake. You should have taped my mouth shut. Somebody ought to get happy already. Now you made one mistake, Mr. Devil. You should have taped my mouth shut. Because long as I can move my mouth, I can move a mountain. And so at midnight, they lifted their voices to God. And while they're praising God, come on, their voice must have gone all the way up into heaven. And God's with his GPS knew exactly where they were. Let's try this again. How many know God knows exactly where you are? I like to say your voice is your address in the realm of the Spirit. When you lift your voice, salvation, deliverance, and healing come. They walked out free. Go ahead and laugh. Ha, ha, ha. So as long as you can move your mouth, how many know that sounds easy, but sometimes it's not. especially when you're facing a challenge. But when you're facing a challenge, something that looks impossible, and you open your mouth and you put God's word in your mouth, I call that mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. All right, let's try that again. In other words, your faith is in God. Your faith is in the word of God. And when you open your mouth and you put God's word in your mouth, you must sound just like God while you're talking. You're agreeing with God. Come on, that I am who God says I am, and I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. I have faith in God. Faith in the blood of Jesus, faith in the name of Jesus, faith in the blood covenant, faith in the word of God. In other words, I walk by faith, I live by faith, I talk by faith. In other words, faith becomes the chief occupation of my life. Go ahead and laugh. I say, ah. I got a secret weapon. In other words, you may not look impressive on the outside, but when you have faith in God, you got nuclear power on the inside of you. It is detonated with your mouth. Ha, 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 ha. Amen? So let's finish Mark 11, 23. And sometimes people say, well, I wonder if he remembers he taught on this last time he was here. So look at somebody and say, he does remember. So, in other words, Dad Hagin had to teach on, and I had to listen hundreds of times. And finally I went, oh, okay. So let's see how faith works. According to Jesus, yeah, Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. In other words, don't just move it to your neighbor's yard. Why did he say cast into the sea? Because the sea has the capacity to dissolve the mountain, which means, number one, it ain't coming back. Some of you are dealing with some mountains now that will be removed and will never come back. Go ahead and laugh about that. In other words, it's going to be dissolved, cast into the sea. And that's what happened when Trina was diagnosed with a brain tumor. I said, you're going to be removed, tumor. And you're not coming back, number one. And number two, there'll be no evidence you were ever there. Praise the Lord. Amen. So this is what we call the authority of the believer. Say to it, quit talking about it. Talk to it. Gives you authority over devils or demons, evil spirit. How many ever talk to stuff? How many of y'all ever talked to your car? How many ever talked to something that wasn't working right? How many actually ever got angry at stuff that was not working right? How many think it helped a lot? I've been working on stuff before and I go, you stupid idiot. And I'm like, hey, he didn't even hear me. So, so people are pretty much used to talking to stuff. How many ever ran into a door or something in your house, you know? Like the Pink Panther, you know, he ran in that door and he goes, stupid architects. So anyway, does your dog bite? Stuff like that. So you're using your words all the time anyway. So he says, say to a mountain, be removed, because he shall not doubt in your heart. That's not really a problem, because you could have doubt in your head. You just don't entertain it and let it get in your heart. You understand that? In other words, you could have thoughts come against your mind, but you just don't let it get on the inside of you. There's doubt in his heart. But shall believe those things which he saith, they'll come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Everybody say whatsoever. So he begins with a whosoever, and he ends with a whatsoever. In other words, this will work for anybody, and it'll work on anything. That means it'll work on your body, work on your family, work on your finances, your whole life. Praise the Lord. So the first time I really heard this, because I knew a lot about the Bible because my dad's a preacher, so I knew a lot of stuff about the Bible. I just didn't know how to live by faith. So Dad Hagin was teaching on this when I was 17. Me and my dad and four deacons came, got me out of jail. We're driving my 55 Chevy. So that's why I lost it. But Dad Hagin came to my dad's church, and I was 17, so I decided to sit up front because I just got out of jail. So he's teaching on faith. And I'm like, So he kind of says things like this. He says, if you're not happy with what you have in life, check out what you've been saying. So I was 17. I wasn't happy. You don't have to wait till you're 40 to be unhappy. You don't even have to wait till you get married to be unhappy. So if you're not happy with what you have, so he started teaching on faith and how faith works, that whosoever shall have whatsoever. And I thought, if I could understand this, because I believe Jesus is telling the truth. If I could understand this, I could live an unlimited life. Because my faith in God could take me places that I would never get without my faith in God. So when you have a spirit of faith, you kind of live with an attitude. That means you kind of get lit. You get lit with the word. And when you get lit, David said, I ran through a troop, jumped over a wall, chased my enemies down, and trampled them underneath my feet. I mean, you'd have to say David had a spirit of faith.
Yeah. Woo!
If you're going to have one, you're going to have to work on it. I said, let's try it again. I said, you're going to have to work on it. You even have to work on your attitude. I don't always wake up with the best attitude. If you didn't get enough sleep or you don't feel so good, you know. And some people get up in the morning and say, oh, good morning, Lord, you know. And I get up and say, good Lord, it's morning, you know. And I'm just like, you get out of the bed and you got like a football injury on your knee and something. You're saying, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to make it to the bathroom. So, now when you're young, it's different. When you get older, you're just happy, you know, you're able to get your underwear on without falling off. You're just like, all right, there's 1 foot. And you didn't fall out, you know, in the bathroom. So I can do all things through Christ. So there's many applications to the spirit of faith. Praise the Lord. Anybody here over 70, raise your hand. All of you know exactly what I'm talking about. My God. I can't put a zipper on those things. So, So David had a spirit of faith at 17, but Joshua and Caleb had a spirit of faith at 80. They're still saying, give me this mountain at 80. You know, a lot of people are like, give me a chair somewhere. You come to Colorado, you're like, they got any oxygen up here? So, spirit of faith. Joshua and Caleb, 80 years old. Give us this mountain. Somebody asked Norman Vincent Peale, When was the 10 best years of your life? He said, I haven't lived them yet. Y'all still with me here? How many of you believe your best blessings are still ahead of you? Come on, the best miracles are still ahead of you. Come on, when he was 80 years old, they asked him, what was the 10 best years of your life? He said, they're ahead of me. Go ahead and say, my 10 best years still ahead of me. Praise the Lord. So the spirit of faith, somebody said this, three kinds of people. There's pioneers, settlers, and museum keepers. So a museum keeper is somebody that just constantly thinks about the past and dust off the memories of the past. A settler is somebody who just finds their comfort zone and just settles there. A pioneer is someone who is constantly pressing for new territory.
Yay! Hallelujah!
Someone who is constantly pressing for new territory and believes you are preparing the way for those who will follow you. So when Paul says we have a spirit of faith, that doesn't mean that we don't have no trouble. That don't mean we don't have no problems. The Lord said to me one time, your faith may not prevent all mountains, but it will move all mountains. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we call this the authority of the believer. And I keep it really simple because I realize, you know, how simple I need it. And Dad Hagin, he just kept it so simple. And so he was teaching on the authority of the believer and the saying part of faith, but he's also teaching on the importance, significance of your confession of faith. Your initial confession of faith is Romans 10, 9, and 10. Y'all know Romans 10, 9, and 10? That's your initial confession of faith, which is how you're saved. Y'all know Romans 10, 9, and 10? Come on, what church are we at here? You know. All right. Romans 10, 9, and 10, this is how you're saved. But this is not an altar call scripture. This is how you activate the lordship of Jesus every day. Y'all ready for this? Romans 10 and verse 8, what does it say? Verse 8 says, the word is near you. Where is it? In your mouth. And in your heart, and he called it what? The word of faith that we preach. Paul called the gospel, he preached the word of faith.
Yay!
So anytime anybody says, you one of those word of faith preachers, you believe in healing and prosperity and blessing, I says, I'm guilty, I'm a word of faith preacher. And I'm on TV, so start throwing rocks. So I'm a word of faith preacher. Amen. He said that word's in your mouth. So I had an evangelist friend that was, he was really a great preacher, but when he wasn't preaching, he was real negative. So his wife got tired of him being so negative around the house. So she made him coffee in the morning, and she got some little strips of paper and put Romans 10, 8, the word is near you, it's in your mouth, and he's drinking his coffee. And he's like, what is that? His wife put that scripture in his coffee so that he would quit talking the way he's talking at the house. So the word is near you, it's in your mouth. All right, let's go to verse 9. I'm moving slow because y'all listening slow. Verse 9, look at somebody and say, if you'd listen faster, we'd move faster. Verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So Paul said, now let me repeat this so you'll know how it works. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Think about that. The confession precedes the experience of salvation. Oh, my, my, my. In other words, we're wanting to see something first before we say something. And God says, you need to say something, and then you're going to see something. So that confession, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. But that confession is something that you make continually when you lift your voice and say, Jesus is my Lord, my Savior. Come on, not just at church on Sunday. Jesus is my Lord. And the moment you make that confession, you let the devil know. Sometimes you make that confession just because you know he's listening. Let's try this out over here. Come on, I know the devil, come on, hanging around the house and depression and all kinds of feelings. I'd like to lift my voice right now and say, Jesus is my Lord. When I lift my voice, Jesus, my confession that Jesus is Lord, my confession that he is Lord, lets the devil know that he cannot dominate me, that sin cannot dominate me. Sickness cannot dominate me. Poverty cannot dominate me. Depression cannot dominate me. It is my confession that registers in heaven, registers in my heart, and registers over every devil that Jesus is Lord. He is victor. He is master. Listen, if you want to be strong in faith and strong in the Lord, you make a continual confession of his lordship in your life. Go ahead and just laugh a few minutes and praise the Lord. I just looked at my watch. I don't know, what time do y'all get out? He said, y'all get out 10 minutes ago. I said, they're still sitting here. Anyway, so this is just an introduction to my message. I hadn't even got to the main point here. Your confession. Means to say the same thing or agree with God. Your confession and the tenacity with which you hold fast to that confession will defeat the devil in every situation. Jesus is my Lord. I'm redeemed by the blood. Psalms 8 verse 2 says, God ordained strength to come out of your mouth. I'm going to try it one more time. God ordained strength to come out of your mouth to stop the enemy. Woo!
Yay!
All right, so here's the other scriptures. I'll give them to you real fast, so don't get mad if I preach on this same time next time. Because that means I'd have to preach on this 52 weeks right here because I'm only here once. And so if I did a series, I'd be able to continue. But so that means next year I just have to continue. And if you wonder why I have to continue, go look in the mirror. Anyway, so holding fast to your confession of faith, Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1 says, consider Jesus. He's the apostle and high priest of your confession. In other words, your confession does not make you confession conscious. It makes you Jesus conscious. Hebrews 4:14, real quick, got that one? Seeing them have a great high priest passed in heaven, Jesus, Son of God, let us what? Hebrews 4:14, hold fast, hold on tight, don't turn loose of it. Why would he tell you that? Because you'll have some challenging times in your life that you need to keep on saying what God says about you, no matter how you feel or how things look. Let us hold on tight, hold fast. Hebrews 10:23, I'm gonna give you another one here. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hebrews 10:23, you find that one? You're looking, all right. King James, here it is. Let us hold fast the profession, same word as confession, of our faith without what?
Wavering.
Why? He is faithful, that promise. All right, go to Hebrews 13:15. Now I'm gonna leave some of the rest of them out, so I'll save you a few for next year. Hebrews 13:15. Y'all ready for this? By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. You see the two words, giving thanks? Same identical Greek word as confession. That those two words, giving thanks. In other words, giving thanks, he says you can't do it silently. You're going to hit the fruit of your lips. It's got to come out your mouth. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Amen. Your confession brings you into agreement with who Christ is and who you are in him. Now, giving thanks to his name, confessing to his name. All right, y'all ready for this? Hold on tight just for a second. See the word sacrifice? The sacrifice of praise? See the word sacrifice? Did you know the book of Hebrews is all about Jesus and his sacrifice? And he is the perfect sacrifice. Your sacrifice of praise connects you to his sacrifice. So you can't be quiet. You're going to have to get your mouth moving. Amen. You're going to have to lift your voice. Amen. The fight of faith, you win it with your words. The say. Ooh. Man, the devil trembles when you lift your voice and start saying, I am who God says I am. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. By his stripes, I am healed. Come on and start saying, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. Your confession of faith. In other words, don't be silent about it. Don't wait till next Sunday. Come on, but tomorrow. Come on, Monday, when you're getting up, you know, trying to, we won't say what all you're trying to do. But when you get up tomorrow morning, get your mouth moving. Give the Lord a shout. God bless you. That's enough. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Charis Christian Center podcast. If you would like to receive prayer, product, or more information about the ministry, go to www.charischristiancenter.com or call us at 719-418-4000.